I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is 107. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio. Just an update for those of you who are shopping and listening and riding around in your cars. 7-3. That's the Vikings up over the Cincinnati Bengals. 2 minutes to go in the second quarter, headed into the halftime. And I tell you, we've got to pull the win off. We've got to pull off this win. We've got to have a culture of winning. We can't keep saying better luck next time. Next year's the year. We're going to keep building. No, there's got to be a culture of winning. And, you know, as a small business owner, I just realized how important culture is. At first, I thought when you start talking about culture, somebody had left the yogurt in the fridge too long. Right. That's the kind of culture I know about. I know about growing stuff, molds and mushrooms and that kind of thing. But, you know, when you start talking about culture, where people can be creative and engaged in a place they feel supported to do their best work, that affects these football players on the field. That affects me and the people that I hire for my company. And if it's new for you, if culture and talking about the culture of a workplace or the culture of a company or the culture of a sports franchise or organization, you got to start doing some research and looking around at workplace culture. And I found a woman right here in Minnesota who's been talking about this for a long time. And in fact, she's an expert on it. And so I'm so glad to welcome Nancy Lyons to the Shaletta Show. She is the co-founder and CEO of Clockwork. Clockwork is one of our great businesses here in the Twin Cities. It's an award-winning digital agency that helps businesses build websites, apps, and creates user experiences and solves problems. Nancy, thank you so much for being on the program.
Shaletta, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, you had a great event this week that you were kind enough to invite me to. It was a boss lady happy hour where women business owners from across the Twin City came and we connected and we talked and we engaged. And that's when I learned so much more about you. And I said, well, you invited me to your place. I'm going to invite you to mine. So welcome to the show, girlfriend.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I invited you to my place.
And, you know, I have driven by Clockwork so many times. It's a beautiful building. It's like, God, you know, I'm telling you, when you start talking about brand awareness, you know exactly where it is. It's yellow. It's got the graphics on the front. But for folks who are hearing about it for the first time, talk to me a little bit more about Clockwork.
Sure. Well, Clockwork is a 21-year-old experience design and technology consultancy, and that's a big mouthful of words to basically say we solve business problems for the enterprise. So we focus a lot of our energy on insurance, manufacturing, healthcare, and financial services, regulated industries, if you will. And we do everything from identifying and helping to roadmap how to solve a problem to building software solutions and executing on them to actually make that problem go away, increase efficiency, increase sales, you know, help the business do better and connect with their customers better. And then we also have a change practice inside of the organization that helps our clients adjust to the changes that the technology ultimately brings. So mostly we're a technology shop, but we center our work around people.
And that is at the heart of everything. No matter how much AI we have, no matter how much technology takes over, we've still got to center everything around the people and the culture and how it changes. And let me just tell you something, Nancy, change is hard. You know, people don't like change. Everybody is running from AI because they're afraid of it instead of running to it to talk about how it may help our businesses. And you and Clockwork were the first people to say, embrace AI. Get over here and see how it can help you, how it could streamline your companies when everybody else was saying, oh my God, these, you know, AI is going to take over our jobs. It's going to be doing our work. We're not going to be needed anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I've been doing this where I've spent my entire professional career working in technology, very specifically internet technology. So when I started my career was right at sort of the beginning of the mainstream internet, and the world doesn't remember this, but I remember it clearly. And that is, we were equally as afraid of these network computers being in our homes. We were equally as afraid of what being able to create online shopping experiences would do to our jobs. And yes, we've changed. Our world and how we operate and how we work has evolved because of the internet. But one could say that once we got a handle on it and we started to really drive it and really think about the reach that it has, it actually improved business. Yep, we're still getting used to the fact that, you know, the in-store experience is very different, and we have to think about engaging customers in different ways so that what happens online will also complement what happens in the store. But the internet didn't destroy us. It actually made business bigger. And I would say the same thing about AI. If we move toward it unafraid and willing to harness the power of AI to make our jobs easier, but also to sort of increase the quality of the interactions we get to have with each other. And when I say that, what I mean is what we're really encouraging the Clockwork staff to do is use it for the tedious tasks, the rote tasks, the stuff that steals your brain power that you can then channel in more creative, more interesting, big and bolder ways. And that's just one way to think about AI. Generative AI is changing how designers work. You know, there's AI that's changing basically every aspect of work. And I think that we can act like, you know, we're terrorized by it. But the truth of the matter is, if we're brave enough to harness it and use it in effective ways, what we'll recognize is that humans and the human connection can rise above it and actually do business better and have deeper, more meaningful relationships based on trust, whereby we're using AI to foster, to nurture, to move forward with those business aspects of the relationship. So there's just a ton of possibility on the horizon. And when people ask me, am I going to lose my job to AI? What I always say is no, but you do need to be afraid of the people who are willing to step into this abyss and experiment with AI, because those people will take your jobs.
And that's the thing. How do you keep up? Everything is changing so fast. As soon as I learn something on one platform, it changes the next day. You know, I woke up a Twitter superstar, went to bed one night, woke up, and Threads had 100 million people join in 3 days. And so I had to jump on Threads and start, you know, making new friends and establishing myself on that platform. And so, you know, as we, you know, approach a new year, there's always something new and different. How do you at Clockwork, how do you keep up with this fast changing industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, what we do at Clockwork might not be representative of what the average human does, but one of our values, and in fact, all of our values actually support this, the answer to this question. And that is, you know, we're curious. Like, we don't want to hire people who just want a 9-to-5 reality with technology, right? Like, I don't want to own their time after 5, but I want to know that they're curious learners, that they are staying abreast of what's happening, that they have their own interests, that they're applying it in their own ways, so that they're bringing their experiences and their experimentation and their curiosity and the results from that back to the work that we're bringing to our clients. We've got folks who are pursuing higher education degrees. I've got a woman who's pursuing an AI certification from a big Ivy League school. We've got people who are, you know, experimenting with AI. We've just started a AI community of practice. And we're really excited about the interest that the staff has in emerging technologies. But, you know, that's sort of the lens that we're looking at every candidate through. You know, what fuels you, what drives you when you're not at work? At work, you know, you've got a list of deadlines, or you've got clients that you've got to deliver for, or you've got team members that you've made promises to. And, you know, our values also speak to that, in that our number one value that's been in place since day one is we tell the truth and we keep our promises. And we make promises to each other. We make promises to our clients. We make promises in the context of the industry. And every person that signs on to become an active clock worker recognizes how important those values are. We're also adaptable. And so I think, you know, how we operate and the curiosity we bring to our jobs is different. But what I would say to the rest of the world is you don't have to be in every channel. You don't have to use every technology. But it's a good idea to experiment and see what works for you. You know, I think social media is a great example. There are people who are often overwhelmed by the number of channels that they could be speaking in. But the reality is it will serve you better if you understand your audience, recognize where your audience is, and maybe that's across a couple of channels. And in that case, experiment to see where you get the best results, or where you can create the most community or the most connection. And I also think it's really important to just recognize, you know, especially where social is concerned, it is never one way. You can never just push stuff out and expect it to work for you. You have to be open to the relationships there as well. So I think, you know, what technology is doing, especially after the last 4 years of the pandemic, is helping us, if we so choose, to create and foster relationships while it can live sort of under the hood, under the radar, facilitating the transactional aspects of relationships.
Okay, now we're going to take a quick commercial break because I want to talk more to you because you're an author too. Your book is called Work Like a Boss, A Kick in the Pants Guide to Finding and Using Your Power at Work. More with Nancy Lyons when we come back. I tell you what, these Vikings better not mess around and lose this game. That's what I know. Linnea Hoff is tuning in and listening and watching. She says, Shaletta, you know what, girl? I'm listening to the show. I got the Vikings on mute. Just keep me updated with the score. I'm gonna keep listening to you, but I'm gonna keep watching this game. That makes two of us, girl. It is 7-3. The Vikings are up over the Bengals. Second quarter, 25 seconds left to go. And I'm not even going to talk about what just happened. I'm not even going to talk about it because I don't want to say it out loud. I'm just going to keep talking to my guests because I don't want to be upset or depressed on my own show, because y'all tune in for lightness and laughter and love, and you know, and so I don't want to, I'm not even going to look at the game right now. I'm not, because I'm going to keep talking to Nancy Lyons. She is the co-founder and CEO of Clockwork. And Nancy, we've been talking about culture. We've been talking about, you know, kick in the pants guide to finding and using your power at work, how to work like a boss. That is your book. And I'm going to tell you something right now, girl. If the Vikings lose this game, I'm buying a copy for everybody on the roster. I'm buying a copy for everybody on the practice squad, because kick in the butt is what they need. And listen, let me tell you something. I love your spirit. I love your get it done, you know, laugh your way through it, love your way through it, but also your tenacity and your drive to be in an industry that is male dominated. As a woman, 21 years in this thing, and you are still growing and thriving and changing and doing it in your own way. Talk to me about this book and your journey.
Oh, well, Shaletta, first of all, thank you for those kind words. I really appreciate it. I don't always lead with love, but I sure try to. And, you know, the book is actually sort of a culmination of many years of managing people and working with people. And the things that I see them, you know, people come in from a variety of places and everybody has their own gift. But what I don't think we talk about enough is that everybody has their own hang-ups, too. And most people are their own worst enemies, especially in the workplace. I also think, you know, my book launched in the middle of the pandemic, which was unfortunate. And now I have to write another one so I can go on the road with it. But whatever, you know, little problems. I can't complain. But the thing that I think, you know, the book really addresses that I didn't anticipate is some of the existential angst that people feel about work now. So the timing for that book's release actually worked out for everybody. And that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people now. You know, we want more from work. We want to feel more connected. We want to feel more purposeful. You know, we want to be in relationship with each other. And we're spending a ton of time right now talking about where we work. Should we go back to the office? Should we let people stay home? Should it be hybrid? And we're not spending enough time talking about how we work, how we get people to feel that connection to their work, how we remind them about their connection to each other and how important it is to the quality of work. So I think, you know, you're right. I've worked for many, many years, again, my entire career in technology, in a male-dominated industry. And for the first half of my career, I tried to fit into that pre-existing mold that the industry you know, sort of perpetuated. And for the second half of my career, I got smarter and decided I was going to be exactly who I am and bring my whole and authentic self to it, but also invite others to show up authentically and stop trying to play the male-dominated game. Stop trying to not, you know, I think businesses have been decidedly apolitical over the years. And I'm not suggesting that politics is what we want to lean into, but I think humans, you know, we can influence politics by caring about people. And we can take, I think, stronger stances on issues because we aren't owned by anybody. Our, you know, small businesses are powerful in and of themselves. Big businesses are corporations that are influenced by shareholders. Politicians are influenced by the money from big corporations that are influenced by shareholders. It's the network of small businesses all over the country that can actually have a greater impact on how humans thrive, how they show up, how valued they feel, how seen they feel. We can influence culture more broadly than in the context of our own businesses, and we can influence people. So I really wrote the book to help people find their power, center in it, recognize their value, show up with it, not, you know, not rely on their job descriptions for guidance as to how they show up. We are so much more than a job description. We have so many more gifts than what we do for a living, and yet our entire identity is wrapped up in it. So I wanted people to recognize, you know, sort of the power that our work has in our lives and how we can harness that to give us energy, to spark engagement, to create new relationships, to do better, to ask for what we want, to fix our own garbage. So it's a universal book that applies to, you know, all industries, to most people. And it's not for managers or executives. It's for everybody who has a job. Like there's a nugget of value in that book for new graduates and people in mid-career and people trying to figure out what they want to do next and people who are trying to find a way to love their job again or people who are trying to decide to quit. There's something in there for everybody, and we need those somethings because we're all going, is this all there is? And I'm tired and I'm burned out. And so the book is a kick in the pants in the right way, and I'm really proud of it, and it's a reflection of my own journey working with people. Boy, I'm on a soapbox today, Shaletta.
You are giving it to us, girl. No, I love it. I love it because it gives us such an insight into the work that you do and into this book. And long before it was trendy, you were talking about diversity and inclusion. And talk to me before you go about how that helps businesses do well, because it's been good for your business.
Sure. Well, you know, this goes back to this idea that we've politicized everything. And I think, you know, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion is another thing that's been politicized. And people say, you know, if you even say that acronym, you're woke. And, you know, I wish that were true, actually. But the reality is we have to recognize that the world is changing. You know, you mentioned earlier that change is hard. I think the reason that people push back on the need to be mindful and intentional about not only selling to broad communities, but reflecting the broad communities that you sell to, regardless of your business. If you're selling products, if you're selling services, if you're making things, if you're creative, the teams internally have to represent the market in which you exist and the market that you want to sell into, which is, you know, potentially huge. And the quality of the work is better. The product itself is better. And so I think that's just one part of the answer to your question. I also think, you know, we are richer. We are richer and more capable and more resilient when we surround ourselves with people who are not like us, when we step outside of our comfort zones and we open ourselves to the challenge of other perspectives, other life experiences, other ways of being in the world. When we do that, it makes us better as humans. To believe that the entire world begins and ends with us and centers around us, and frankly, right now I'm talking, you know, to the majority of white folks, we have been trained to believe that everything is for us. And we're missing out, you know, and people might want to call me right now and say, why would you say that? That's ridiculous. It's the truth. Just step outside of yourself for a second and recognize that when we live under that false assumption, we are missing out on the richness and the real beauty of the world. And there's opportunity in diversity. There's opportunity in recognizing other people's experiences and ensuring equity, because there's, you know, I live in a prosperity mindset. I believe there's enough for everyone. Yeah. I believe there's business opportunity, you know, financial rewards. There's enough of those for everyone. And I want that for everyone. And because of that, I have to recognize that everyone doesn't look or act or sound or operate the way I do. And by opening my arms to that truth, I'm actually making my world a more beautiful place, a more interesting place, and a more prosperous place.
Well, you have blessed us, and I know we are going to be more prosperous with all this wisdom and knowledge and these nuggets and jewels that you have given us today. If you want more of Nancy Lyon's wisdom, get that book, Work Like a Boss, A Kick in the Pants Guide to Finding and Using Your Power at Work. She is the co-founder and CEO of Clockwork. Thank you for being on the show. This has been fun. I am energized. I am up. I am empowered. I am motivated. You just don't know. You have lit a spark in me today, and I am going to run on and see what the end's going to bring.
Shaletta, you're the best. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me today, and go Vikings.
Go Vikings. Yes. Yes. I do not want to have to buy a book for everybody on the team if they lose. I need them to win, but I will if I have to. Nancy, you have a happy holiday. We appreciate you being here.
Appreciate you. Bye now.
All right. And you guys stick around. There's more to come.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We are getting ready to gather together for Christmas, and our kids are going to be coming off of, you know, the school week, and we're going to be in the room with our loved ones. Some of them are elderly, compromised. And let me just tell you something. I'm 51 years old, and those middle school germs are giving me the blues. I was sick for 10 days. And I had to realize that our family had not been properly vaccinated. Sean had not gotten his flu shot. He went ahead and did that. We don't do them at the same time just in case, you know, we go down or get tired or hit a wall. I've got to get mine because we're going to visit my mother in Houston. And she, look, my mother and father are getting up in age. Their bodies are not prepared for elementary, middle school, and high school germs. I have to make sure that we don't go visiting our loved ones and get them sick. And so I'm talking to a lot of my families who have children with special needs, autism, like my three kids. And they say, Shaletta, it's just too hard. It's just too difficult. It's hard enough to get the kids to the doctor. And once they know that they're there to get the vaccine, it's a lot. And it's just easier not to go in. And I understand how hard and difficult it is. I remember when I took my kids to get, you know, their first vaccine, and, you know, we went to one of the lines were long. We went to one of the places at the you know, community centers, and, you know, we stood in that line, and by the time the kids got up in line, they were fit to be tied. And then you pull the needle out and all hell's breaking loose. And so I was so glad to find out and to share the information about the sensory friendly vaccine clinics that were going on that Children's of Minnesota were having, right? In conjunction with some of our community partners, the Autism Society of Minnesota being one, so that the nurses are trained. The lights are dim. There's some fidgets in the room. Everybody knows that the children coming in have a special need. And so when I found out that there was another one going on Wednesday, just in time for everybody to get out of school and everybody to be safe before they hit the road and they go and spend time with their loved ones that they don't normally see, I was like, okay, get me Abby Kniest. She is the RN clinical supervisor at Children's Minnesota, and she is going to tell me about this sensory-friendly vaccine clinic happening in St. Paul on Wednesday with the Autism Society of Minnesota and the Multicultural Autism Action Network. Thank you so much, Abby, for being here.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Shaletta.
Now, talk to me about this clinic. It is going on Wednesday the 20th. This is just in time. The kids get out of school on Friday. We are hitting the road to go see Grandma in Houston on Saturday. This is absolutely perfect. And I don't know who timed this, but it couldn't have been done at a better time.
We actually thought that as well. So the majority of the planning does go along with the Autism Society of Minnesota and the Multicultural Autism Action Network. We work together to figure out what dates would work better for families with kids with autism or other neurodivergent diagnoses.
And so this event is going on from 9 to 4, so you can come after school. For those of us who homeschool our kids and do virtual classes, we can go throughout the day. I just appreciate this so much. It's going to be at the St. Paul Primary Care Clinic at 347 North Smith Avenue, Suite 302 in St. Paul. You can make an appointment, or, you know, we really want you to try to make an appointment. If you can, you just go. But it's all about keeping these kids and family and friends safe, especially these kids who have special needs like my babies.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Vaccines are a really important part of keeping everybody safe. There's kids out there that aren't able to get vaccines due to other medical issues. There's kids out there that their bodies don't remember the vaccines that they're getting, and so they're under vaccinated. So anybody that can come in and get a vaccine should come in and get a vaccine. That being said, getting vaccines can be really scary for kids that don't have a neurodivergent diagnosis. And so with kiddos that do respond to things differently, we need to figure out what the best and safest way is to vaccinate them, so the next time they come in, they are not completely scared of us. And if that means taking things a little bit slower, having a plan, having a narrative, those kinds of things, we are so excited and willing to do that.
And that's what I appreciate about these specialty vaccine clinics, is that everyone in there is trained. Everyone in there knows that the kids are coming in and have special needs, because my kids have autism. You can't look at them and see that they have a special need. You may think they're just having a meltdown. And the way that people handle them, sometimes I have to pull them to the side and say, hey, listen, my kids have autism. That's the reason they're behaving this way. Do you have anybody who is trained to handle children with special needs? And if so, how can I get in touch with that person? We'll wait for that person. But at an event like this, everybody there knows that the kids coming have special needs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are very specific about the days that we pick for these vaccine events. We pick days where we know that there may be less providers in the clinic, so there's not as many other appointments going on. There's not so much kind of chaos and craziness in the clinic. And as soon as those kids walk in the door, they are greeted by somebody from either Awesome or Man. And we really, as much as we can, try and let the kiddos, the patients, run the whole entire appointment.
And that is so important, because I appreciate what you said about, my kids remember bad experiences at the doctor, and it takes a long time for them to get over that and to work as hard as you do to provide a good experience for these children. It really, really means something.
Yeah. So on December 20th, when a patient comes in, as I mentioned, that they'll be greeted by somebody from either Awesome or Man. Right as soon as they get off the elevator and check in. Just a little bit about the process. I personally will be there helping to give these vaccines, since I've been doing this with Awesome and Man for about a year now. And really, we partner with the families and the caregivers. We partner with the patient. We literally ask them, what do you like to do? What makes you feel the least nervous? When you are nervous, what helps you feel better? As soon as they walk into the room, they get some sort of sensory toy or fidget or something like that. And whether it's, you know, squishing that around, getting like what we call a buzzy bee, which is this little vibrating thing that can go where the vaccine is going to go, watching your favorite YouTube video, or some of our patients who have more sensory issues and stuff like that, we'll actually sit down and work out a narrative with them, a really nice, simple narrative, so they understand exactly what the process is going to be and when it's completed. And we have been so successful doing all these different mixes of things, and it's really amazing to watch kids get the vaccines that they need to protect themselves, to protect their families, to protect other kids. and they come out smiling and happy, and that is just amazing.
Now, I'm getting notes already from parents in my autism community, and they need to know how to register. They need to know where to go because, you know, like I said before, appointments are strongly encouraged, but you're not going to turn anybody away who shows up. So how can they get registered so you'll have an idea of how many people are coming each and every hour?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can grab all the information off of the Children's Minnesota Facebook page. I also have a phone number that I can read off if that would be helpful.
Yes, please give that to me because I need to text. People text me while I'm doing the show like I'm not really on my job. And so I really need y'all to understand that I'm working here, okay? They're like, Shaletta, give me that phone number. Give me the website. Just
yes, okay. The phone number is 651-220-6700. We do have appointments still available for the 20th starting at 9 o'clock. Just let whoever is helping you out, let them know that you want to register your child for the autism vaccination event. Normally, we do, for these other vaccine events, we only allow current patients. However, these are so special and so specific that we want anybody to be able to come. So even if you haven't been to Children's Minnesota before, that's totally okay. They'll just get a little bit of extra information. The one thing that I ask is if the kiddo needs more than just COVID or flu, that when you come, you bring your other vaccine records so we can ensure that the patient is getting the vaccines that they need.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so important. Bring those vaccine records. Bring those babies. Make that call. If you have a child with special needs, this is specifically for our children. And the one thing that I appreciate, Abby, about what you all are doing is when you have kids with special needs, we're always last. We're the last to get on the playground. We're the last to go to lunch. We're the last to get to the classroom. We're the last to leave. Our bus is always the last bus pulling up. You know, and we don't get to go on the playground until everybody else has played. We don't get to go to lunch until everybody else is eating. And Children's Minnesota is putting our kids first. And I just have to say on behalf of moms and dads who have kids with autism that we really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Shaletta. That means so much to me to hear that. Like I said, I've been doing this for about a year. And it truly has been an experience that has changed my life as a nurse. I have made relationships with caregivers and parents, the things that we have received. And, you know, to me, I feel like this is kind of simple. Like we just gave you extra time and gave you vaccine and sent you on your way. But it has been so meaningful to families. I also want to say this is the first time that we've had anything like this here in Minnesota that includes all of the vaccines, not just COVID and flu. And so if anybody is feels like their kiddo is behind on any vaccines, schools are really cracking down now on the childhood vaccines and stuff. And so, you know, bring them in and we'll get them all caught up so they don't have to miss any more school.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. Abby, thank you so much for being on the show. Happy holidays, and we appreciate all this work that you're doing for our kids.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Please, again, if anybody has any questions or anything like that, call that phone number. Look on the Facebook page. My name is Abby. You can call and leave a message for me if you have any questions specifically about the event, anything like that, and I will answer them as quickly as I can.
Well, thank you so much. We will chat with you soon. The Vikings just scored a touchdown, 14-3. We may pull this off if we can just hold out and hold out, because Steve Thompson is going to be coming up soon on the Shaletta Show to talk to us about this big game. We'll be back. Oh, yeah, baby. Vikings just got another touchdown. We're talking the smooth operator, the momentum. Culture of winning. We just talked to Nancy Lyons at Clockwork about that. That culture of winning, you know, knowing, hey, look, we're gonna do this. We're gonna pull this off. I've got great confidence in the Vikings, even though, you know, my heart rate is up. I just have to tell y'all, I never thought I would be on blood pressure medicine. But fooling around with these Vikings last season when they were winning all these close games, and Justin Jefferson was making all these fantastic plays and doing some amazing things on the field. It was a lot for my body. And I was like joking. I was like, oh my God, they're going to run up our blood pressure. And then they did. And then I was like really in the doctor's office. And I was like, now talk to me about this gabapentin again. Now, what is this medicine and how's it going to lower my blood pressure? Fooling around with these Vikings. I promise y'all, I am on blood pressure medicine. And speaking of medicine, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware, but like this Ozempic and all these other prescription medications that were for other ailments, people are taking this and losing weight. Now, I'm sitting up here trying to do it the old fashioned way, and I'm hungry. And I'm not going to say I'm hating on Oprah for looking like 35-year-old Oprah, but girlfriend is looking fabulous. And I was like, oh, my God, what is she doing? And I was talking to Chad Hartman yesterday, and he said, well, Oprah is taking the Ozempic. And I was like, wow, I didn't know. I didn't know she was doing that. But it makes sense because she lost a lot of weight in a small amount of time. And I'm going back to Houston for Christmas. And I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen my family since maybe spring break or sometime over the summer, early summer. When we dropped the kids off in June to spend time with my family. And I was supposed to have a hot girl summer, but it was too hot in Texas, so I had to bring them home. And so I'm going to be seeing some folks I haven't seen in 6 months. And I have relatives who are old enough that they don't care what they say about you. So I just didn't want to go down there, you know, with the extra junk in my trunk. And so I've really been trying to watch my weight and eat right and stay away from all the stuff that I love, like Sean's homemade cinnamon rolls. Because I want to get that Oprah body. I just don't want to take them Oprah pills, that Ozempic. I'm not going to do it. What I am going to do is stick around for another hour of the Shaletta Show. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.